3 minutes. You missed the best part of the show the rest of the morning.
Yeah, we enjoyed it. It proves that you and I could actually be sitting in your living room and have an enjoyable conversation without any audience, because that's exactly what we did.
I don't think I remember that ever happening. Well, what happened was we had technical difficulties where, whatever reason, we lost a signal here over at Sylvan Park.
There might be a pancake on the roof. That's what it could be.
Yeah, and some of the people that are having breakfast here at Sylvan Park hollered over to us.
Too much.
Well, I wish we had been listening to the radio during that time. Yeah.
I think it's because the people here, there's too much gold in their teeth.
You're probably right.
It probably ruined the antenna capability.
Well, you know, it's impossible for us to go back and recreate.
Well, no, we need to recreate the important things.
Yeah.
Number one, happy birthday to you.
That's not that important.
You don't look a day over 55.
I don't?
No. I hope you're not younger.
I don't feel a day over 120. I can tell you that right now.
So happy birthday to you tomorrow.
Thank you.
MTSU
will be on in the morning.
So we won't be on. No, we can come here tomorrow and do the whole show, and it'll be just like today.
Yeah, we can do.
Nobody will be listening to us.
Yeah, it's a day like any other day.
Well, look at the good news. You didn't bring anybody important in who actually had something of value to share. So that's a plus.
Well, I can agree with that.
That's a plus.
Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't a total waste.
Yeah.
So the high point is happy birthday to you. And then the second, I mean, if you had to condense 40 minutes into one thing, we are blessed to live in the most generous place in the entire earth.
No doubt about that.
And the second thing is I need a trailer.
And you were trying to explain the trailer. See, I used to camp all the time, Jackie and I did. We traveled all over the
country. Okay, this is a residence for one guy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know what size trailers come in, but what I'm envisioning is one of those little tow trailers that you'd tow behind your small car.
Oh, okay.
That would be, 20 feet long, maybe?
And maybe one. Well, yeah. I mean, it could be just something as simple as you could kind of pull the back part of the trailer and pull it out another 5 or 6 feet, and something he can sleep comfortably in.
You know, and then I'd need to find a lot somewhere in Christiana, somebody who would give me a 10,000-year lease for a dollar.
All right, he's got that little house.
Yeah.
And it's owned by someone else who was living in Bedford County, I believe that's correct.
Right.
And having a hard time locating them to see if you could find a way to put heat in that particular house. And as of right now, you don't even know where they are or anything, but Tell Beatty is going to reach out and try to locate.
Yeah, we're going to try and find them, because I've got to get them to approve and pay for a survey or a visit from the codes people.
Yeah.
But the condition of the house and the fact that it's a wood frame house, I don't think it's going to pass codes. He has no electricity right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and there's no visible pile of logs anywhere. I don't know how the guy heated the house last night.
Now, is Debbie still...
Debbie's involved
every
day with
him. Giving the food to him.
She's wonderful.
Yeah. And Debbie is the one who... One of the owners of Miller's.
Of Miller's. And she's the one that contacted Scan and said, is there anything you can do for this guy?
Yeah.
And I foolishly said, well, what's his phone number? And she said, he doesn't have a phone and he doesn't have any electricity.
Yeah.
There should be nobody in this country that doesn't have a warm place to put their head down at night.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of people in Rutherford County who don't have that. But this is a guy that we're incredibly involved with because he's an intelligent person. You can have an enjoyable conversation with him. He's just, I in a lot of ways, I kind of envy people like that. If you looked up materialistic person in the dictionary, you'd see a picture of Phil Barnett. I want to have the newest of everything. That's not true. Well, Adrian's not the newest, but I still love her. But
you were talking about
this guy.
How you got that feeling that you wanted to help the people around you, and that came from your father, who was a country physician. Back years ago, we used to call them country doctors, and they were the number one telephone number that you always had, because when you needed someone and you needed them right then, your country doctor would be the one to come
and
out.
And you knew they'd come out.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, that's certainly the grounds. That's where compassion was grown in me.
Give me your dad's name.
Yeah, his name?
Yeah.
Dr. Harry Barnett.
Harry Barnett. Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah. My grandparents put two sons through medical school during the Depression. Can you imagine?
That's unbelievable.
That's absolutely unbelievable. But anyway, that compassion just automatically draws you to people, especially people who are less fortunate but are capable. I mean, one of the first things we had to find out is if this guy was even eligible for Social Security. You've got to have 10 years of credible work. You've got to have 40 quarters of credible work to even be eligible for Social Security. Well, he hasn't, you know, he's 68 years old. He hadn't worked in a long time. So the first question was, I wonder if he ever worked. Or if he did work, did he do little odd jobs where he got paid cash and there was no Social Security record of it? Or, well, I mean, immediately checking, the guy was very eligible. He had worked a number of long years and had plenty of credit, so he was eligible for Social Security. But he hadn't had anybody who just took his hand a little bit and got that Social Security started. And so to be able to help somebody like that who is intelligent, who's capable, who's just a kind soul, that guy probably, now that he has some Social Security, that guy would probably give away half his Social Security to somebody less fortunate. And now we're able to help him. So, I mean, it's just...
He was kind of alone in the world, wasn't he?
Totally alone. I mean, he was born in 1951, and so somebody told him since he was born in 51, he wasn't eligible yet for Social Security. He was only 51 years old. Well, he was 68 years old and long past eligible. And so it was very exciting for us to be able to get some money in his pocket to take him.
Did he have a military record?
Well, he says he does, but we can't find it.
Yeah.
And probably one of the problems was nobody told him how important it was to hold on to even his birth certificate.
Yeah.
And so he had none of those records. We had to struggle to get his birth certificate because we had to piece all that together. And then once we had mom's maiden name and dad's name, he remembered his mother's married name, but he didn't remember her maiden name. Once we got the maiden name, then go down to the health department right here in Murfreesboro, pay him a little bit of money, and 10 minutes later, you got a certified true copy of the birth certificate sitting there right in your hand.
Where was he from originally? Did you find out?
Well, he was born in Tennessee. That's what made it easy.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think if it wasn't in Rutherford County, somewhere down by Christiana.
Mm-hmm. Because you think, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot to identify an individual if you've got the records, but he was just totally lost.
Well, he didn't have a birth certificate.
Yeah.
And I tried every magic trick I knew, and I couldn't get anything. And then I went to the incredibly lovely and talented Lisa Marcioni.
Yeah.
Because Lisa knows everything. And
we celebrated Lisa's birthday last night also.
What a sweetheart.
Yeah.
And Lisa went ahead and looked up some stuff for me, and we were able to find a sister's name. And then when we found the sister's name, we did a little bit on that, found out, oh, man, the sister had passed away.
Mm.
So then I called a friend of mine who was in Rotary with me at one of the local funeral homes, and I said, pull a death certificate for me. And this was from 2006 or 2008, so not recent. And he pulled it, and we took a shot that it was the same mother, because that's 70 years ago. I mean, it could have been, who knows. And fortunately, it was. And so once I had Mama's maiden name, then I could request a birth certificate with his permission, his written permission, and the health department right here in town, 10 minutes later, had it in my hand. Well, that was the magic key to the castle, because once I had that, then it was easy to get him into Social Security, Medicare, Part A and B, you know, stuff that he didn't have access to. And because he's 68, because he was eligible for Social Security when he was 66, he got a handsome check that was back pay.
Wow.
And then he gets a monthly check. So it's just, it, you can't imagine living in a house that had no electricity. And then imagine not having 25 cents in your pocket.
Well, now the question is that you've got him on his feet and you're doing, making his life better. You're still working hard to ensure that he has the proper place to stay. How are you going to protect him in this day and time? Even in Rutherford County, we have people who prey on others.
Well, the way you do it, and it just causes you to reflect back on all the things that have happened in your life. Mm-hmm. The way you do it is you build in as much as you can, and you educate every chance you get. Mm-hmm. You know, don't share your ATM card. Don't share your ATM number. The closest place is around the corner heading back into town on Shovel Highway, is that little gas station.
Yeah.
They've got ATMs. They've got food. They've got everything that he's going to need. But don't give somebody your ATM card and your PIN number and tell them to run down there and get you $20.
But you're following behind him to make sure that he continues that.
Absolutely. And in that particular case, because he doesn't have a whole lot of money, we still, from the food bank out on Midland Road, we take him food every other Friday, and as a result of that, we see him.
Yeah.
And we either see him and then we take the food down and put it on his front porch, or we take him down there with us and put it on his front porch. And until he has it set up with Social Security for direct deposit, if he's received his monthly check, I write on the back of it, "For deposit only," and he signs it. And I picked up a bunch of deposit tickets when I was there that day. We opened his checking account. And I'll have it in the bank on the way home that Friday. So there's no chance it's going to get lost. And as long as it says for deposit only, I can't cash it and run away to Mexico. So we built that safeguard in there. But, yeah, we talk about the fact that don't be telling people that you have a checking account now. He doesn't have that kind of a group in Christiana. It'd be a little different if he was going to the senior center every day in Smyrna or in Murfreesboro. He'd be around a lot of people. He pretty much stays to himself on Miss Debbie's back porch and helps her any way he can during the day.
Can you tell that he really enjoys your presence when you show up?
Yes. Yeah. And the way you know it is the handshake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He stands up, we greet each other like we've known each other for all 68 years, and he always says thank you.
Wow, that's pretty special.
I've got an amazing gentleman who's out in Fosterville, and before I was in the SCAN program, I didn't know what a Fosterville was. Mm-hmm. And this guy, part of what we do when we bring somebody into the program is we actually do an inspection in their home to make sure the doors are secure, to make sure that there's outside lights. So if somebody did come to the door, you could turn on the light and see who it was before you open the door. Make sure they have smoke detectors. Make sure that if it's a gas home, that there's detectors in there in case there's a CO leak. You know, make sure all those safety things are there. And we told the guy we needed to do that, and he didn't want us in his house. And so we continued to develop the relationship with him. And after several months, the gentleman that I partner with in this program, he said, "Are we going to ask him again if we can see his house?" And I said, "No, let's give him a break. He'll hopefully come around at some time and let us in." And we got there, and we were having a nice talk, and he said, "Hey, you guys want to see the house?"
Wow.
And now when we go there and do things for him, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. He can't say thank you enough, and we've earned his trust. He knows that we're an official organization. We come in uniform. We're in company cars. We're in the Fords that you bought when you were early in your time at the sheriff's office.
Great cars.
Great cars, but yeah. Boy, are they old. And he trusts us to the point that he knows that we'll help him and do anything we can. Right now, through our friends at Habitat, we're hoping to get a HUD grant to do some improvements on his house.
Yeah.
But most recently, one corner of the porch was rotted off. And we went out there, Clarence Geis and I went out there with Jack Kelton, and we rebuilt the corner of his porch. Probably wouldn't pass code anywhere, but the porch isn't going to fall down. And then up on the roof, he had a huge leak in his roof.
Mm-hmm.
And us full-figure boys do not go up on a roof that's that old ever. And so what I did, it's right next to the church out in Fosterville. And so I called those folks and I said, could you help a neighbor? Holy cow, they came in, they probably re-roofed a fourth of his roof.
Mm.
Somebody, I'm glad I wasn't there to watch it, somebody actually went up on that roof. And this is an old wood frame house that's more rot probably than solid wood. And now his leak is gone, his porch is fixed, his stove works so he can heat. We'll be bringing him wood over the course of the winter so that he's got plenty of wood that he'll split. He'll go out there with his gas splitter, and he'll split his wood and stack it up on the porch. And so, I mean, this guy probably is taken care of for another winter. Now, after the first of the year, he'll collect. He only makes a little bit on Social Security, and his huge pension from the time he was at Samsonite, his pension is well in excess of $36 a month.
Isn't that ridiculous?
How could you call it a pension?
Yeah.
And so he'll give me those two documents and his most current electric bill because it has his name and his address on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I will take those in because the programs I've already established 3 years ago, the program. So that's all the paperwork I need to take in to the tax trustee's office, to TEB. And what they'll do is there's a program that's, I think, county and state. And I mean, his property tax is $200.
Yeah.
And it'll pay that. And so it won't cost him anything for that program. So about January, he'll start waving those papers at me as we're driving up with his food.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell him, wait now, we got to wait for one more piece of paper. And they'll give them to me. I'll take a picture of all three of them with my phone. And I'll go ahead and print them at home. And then take those three pieces of paper in to the tax office. And they'll enter them in. And they'll give me a receipt that shows that he owes nothing. And the next time we're out there delivering food, I'll give him the receipt, and he puts it away. He has a meticulous filing system that's in a wicker chair that's all manila envelopes. I don't know how he does it, but he can put his hands on anything at any moment. And he'll put it away. And we won't worry about that again until he gets the tax bill, and we play it again, Sam. So, I mean, these are smart people. These are capable people, but they don't have... Where do you pay your taxes? How do you pay your taxes? $200 may not be the end of the world for you or me, but $200 would impact on his medicine, would impact on his heat, would impact on his food. So, I mean, when you start thinking about people who, you know, are making $400 or $600 a month total income, if you have to go to Walgreens and buy $150 worth of drugs,
yeah,
you have taken a chunk out of what I was going to spend on food.
Have you ever sat down and talked to some of the people like what you're mentioning today and kind of do a background on how they got lost to start with and how come they could not stop the skid and get back on the right track again?
Well, the interesting thing is they never view it as a skid.
Hmm.
They never view it as a skid. Nobody shunned them. Nobody said, go to the corner and don't come out for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
What happened was they were, you know, one of nine siblings, and those other eight have passed away now. There really is no family anywhere. They're alone, and they've been living this lifestyle for a period of time. And they're very comfortable living this lifestyle. And
You're saying comfortable. They're by themselves.
Yeah.
And they have no friends, no family. And they're comfortable in that? I don't understand.
You and I couldn't do that because we're too much of extroverts.
They go crazy, yeah.
We go crazy. But they have, I mean, who knows if 30 years ago they weren't the life of the party. But now they're very comfortable with, I mean, this one guy, we had somebody donate a television set to us. And I asked him if he wanted a television. And he started pounding on his backside. I thought he was going to fly. And I said, what's going on here? And he said, if you gave me a television set, I'd just sit around all day and watch TV, get nothing done. So you're 89 years old. What do you have to get done? Don't you want a TV that you can at least see the news? Probably not. But
not the news.
Not the news. Yeah. But I mean, you know, don't you? And no, he just, I mean, the guy that's out in Christiana, if I can't get electricity for you, do you want me to look for a different place for you to live? No, I want to stay right here. This is my home.
But knowing you, you can paint any picture to make it look great for anybody.
Well,
the television, you could find some old films of the Durango Kid or something when he was a little kid or whatever. And it's amazing how you change people's lives.
Well, and it's such a joy to do it. Such a joy to do it.
Can you believe that?
Who?
Somebody calling you on the telephone?
They're probably here to sell me something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now, I was going to bring it up a minute ago.
Oh, a birthday card.
Oh, Jack, thank you. Jack Drugman, he used to be the chief of MTSU Police Department.
Oh,
and
cool.
He just stopped by and gave me a card.
I hope it's got a gift card in it.
Well,
it might pay for your breakfast.
Well, actually, I've already paid for my breakfast.
Oh,
thank
you might pay for your breakfast.
Yeah.
Are we going to get together tomorrow when nobody's online so we can do this again?
That would be absolutely.
I'm surprised Brian even told you that you wouldn't be on tomorrow.
All right, this is what the card says. It's not a matter of the years a man has been around or the trail in life he chose to take, but it's the thing he does for everyone that makes a man so great. Happy birthday. It's got my birthday year. I'm going to leave that out. I'll catch you in December. That's his birthday time. Jack Drugman. Wasn't that nice?
That's a fantastic. I mean, and that what that does is it reflects what the community thinks of Truman Jones. You know, the greatest gift that we have today is that we do have the ability to give back. And, it makes you feel good. But what you do for other people, it does change their lives.
Well, if it really reflected what the community thinks of me, I would be shipped out to over there on Jefferson Pike where the landfill is.
You know, if you're doing anything, there's going to be a small handful of people who are going to object to whatever it was you were doing. But you still want that as your reputation. You want to be somebody who is making some progress.
You know that you're making a difference in this world when you walk up to people and they've got a smile on their face.
Oh, yeah.
That really does make a difference. You want their lives to be better.
If you can go in, you can have a conversation with them, you can make them smile, you can laugh a little bit, you can reminisce a little bit. When you get to be our age, you can reminisce a lot with just about anybody. And just to bring a little bit of joy.
If
you can't, I mean, my wife likes to tell people that she's heard all of my stories over and over again, but they get better every time because I embellish them a little bit more every time I tell them. And if you can just bring that simple kind of joy, and then if they have other things going on in their life, right now, every time we call somebody in the scan program, we're making sure that they've got enough food and they've got heat.
Especially this time of year. I mean, times get hard for people.
Yeah, and we want to make sure that, you know, put away a couple of cans of beans just in case we have that once-in-a-millennium snowstorm in Rutherford County and you can't get out of the house for 2 or 3 days. Yeah. Do you have enough canned goods or enough something? Yeah. If your electricity is gone and you're going to have to rely on whatever's in the cupboard, and if not, we'll help them get that. We've been blessed from a local quilt group. They've given us quilts. We've been blessed from the Red Cross. They've given us blankets. We have enough stuff that people can bundle up at home if they don't have heat.
And the one thing you can do every night that doesn't take a whole lot of energy at all is if you know someone who is going through some hard times, put in a prayer for them.
Put in a prayer for
them.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, you can always thank God for what you have and ask Him to help out those that are less fortunate.
Yeah. Amen to that.
This was fun. I'm glad we had a...
It was fun.
What did we have?
Sorry we
17-minute show now?
I'm sorry we missed the first 40 minutes, but we worked hard those 40 minutes. It's just like we didn't take a break.
I think Brian planned it.
Yeah, I think he did, too.
Thank you, Truman. It's been a joy.
I really appreciate it. Phil Barnett, one of my good buddies. We'll see you Thursday morning.
From Sylvan Park Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street, it's the Truman Show on News Radio WGNS, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and streaming online at WGNSradio.com.
Broadcasting from the Billups Center Studio, medicine that matters to men, online at thebillupscenter.com.
If only I could spend my whole paycheck on new tires.
Said no one ever. Which is why Bud's Tire Pros makes buying Michelin tires simpler. Allison Mitchell at Bud's Tire Pros says that they offer a straightforward approach to service, and they include a nationwide warranty with every purchase.
We're your one-stop shop for all your automotive needs, including alignments, oil changes, brake service, engine repair, and much more.
Stop by today to see their full lineup of Michelin tires. For whatever you drive, Michelin has a tire to fit any need. Tire Pros. Hassle-free guaranteed. Visit BudsTireProsTN.com.